This is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. You're tuned in to the Kenai Conversation. I'm your host, Sabine Pooks. Election Day in the Kenai Peninsula Borough is in less than a month. There are two spots open on the Kenai City Council, three seats open on the Soldotna City Council, and three seats open on the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly. We're interviewing the candidates for those elections throughout the month of September, ahead of the election October 5th. Last week, we spoke with two of the five candidates for the Kenai City Council seats. This week, we interviewed the other three, James Basden, Alex Dothit, and Deborah Sonart. You can listen to all these interviews anytime at kdll.org. So, first off, it would be great for you to all kind of introduce yourself and say why you decided to run for the seats. So, Alex, why don't we start with you? Would you mind introducing yourself to everyone and saying kind of why you decided to run for this seat?
Yes, my name is Alex Dothit. I'm running for Kenai City Council. I was born and raised here in the city of Kenai, went to Kenai High School, lived a couple different places throughout the state, but we came back and me and my wife and four children have called Kenai home. The reason I'm running is I own a business that we've established in the city of Kenai, and I want to be involved in making the city of Kenai prosperous for both me and my business. Thank you.
Great. Deborah, what about you?
Hi. I was born in Cordova, raised in South Florida, and I came back to Alaska in 1994 to teach at Kenai Central High School and Kenai Middle School. And from the moment I landed in Kenai and took that job, Kenai has been home. I love Kenai, and I love to see the city thrive, and I am a retired teacher now, and I would love to be a part of helping the city grow and thrive. That's why I'm running.
Thank you. How about you, James?
Thank you for having the top three candidates here today. I just recently retired this summer after 35 plus years in public safety. Worked as a mayor chief of staff. Got up here in 1989 with the Air Force. Spent almost 12 years in Air Force and Air National Guard. My family, we've been here in Kenai since 1998. My wife Rhonda and I raising three children. One just went off to college, and we've got two in Kenai Central High School. And I've kind of over the last year, I've probably been a voice of some opposition that's took place with some of the things in the school district and some of the things the mandate's been taking place. And I had a lot of folks ask me, said, you know what, you should look at city council because that also has some influence dealing with where we may be going. So that's why I'm in the race.
Thank you. Thank you all so much for being here and taking the time to talk with us today. So first, a big focus for all municipalities this year has been COVID relief funds. So that might be a good place to start. And the city of Kenai in particular is eligible for almost $2 million in funds from the American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA. Do you have thoughts of where you'd like to see those funds go? James, why don't we start with you on this question?
Well, the big issue dealing with any of the funds that we bring in is trying to not increase the size of government with the funds, come in and use it as relief if we can. Our small businesses were definitely hurt whenever COVID first hit, whenever we started mandating what businesses were going to be open, what businesses were going to be closed. Now we have a workforce issue where we can't get people out working in a lot of our restaurants and hospitality type situations. So, I want to see it used in a way to where we can stimulate the economy without growing government. I want to see it stay, keep our government the same size and use them properly.
Are there any kind of specific programs that Kenai's already done that you would like to see come back, or any programs that you did not approve of kind of the first time around?
I thought just Kenai, just like the other municipalities, trying to use vouchers and different types of systems to incentivize people to shop locally, that kind of stuff, seemed to probably have as much benefit as anything, and it kept that money flowing in our local economy.
Great. Deborah, what about you? Do you have any thoughts about where you'd like to see funds from that American Rescue Plan Act go in the city of Kenai?
Yes, I would like to see it directed to the small businesses and possibly to the citizens through the voucher program. There was so much excitement last winter created by the Buy Local program. And I remember stepping up to the chamber with my receipts, and the parking lot was full. I couldn't even get into the door. I mean, it was just people packed, and it was exciting to see the excitement that the people were bringing with them with this. And it's very tempting when given funds that you haven't raised through local sales taxes, funds from the federal government, that is like, woohoo, let's party, and let's buy this, and let's buy that, and let's do this. And you got to realize these funds are given to us to help maintain the businesses, the programs we have now, and help them to return to a healthy level, and not necessarily to increase government and to get larger, but to help maintain the health of your community. And I would like to see those funds specifically used for the small businesses and the citizens.
Thank you. What about you, Alex?
Well, ARPA funds are, there are four main categories that we can use them for as a city. They're very specific, a little more specific than the previous funds that were allocated for the first set of funds for the federal government. You know, there's four categories they can use them for, and they're kind of public health, or economic impacts they can use it for. The cities have to be able to use, show proof of this is what they're using it for. There's premium pay for people like staff of essential workers. So might be able to do something like bonuses or something like that. Lost revenues in the city, if they show a decrease in taxes, they can use it for that. And then also in investments in water, sewer, and like broadband, they can show use for that. Right now the city's getting, looks like about $1.84 million. So compared to previous numbers, might not be huge, but it's enough to what they could do something with. For these categories here, some definite ideas being able to get it to the small businesses are great. I think right now, as me as a small business in the Kenai city of Kenai, is the ability to get employees. Everybody I talk to is looking for employees right now. And just handing every business another stimulus check, in some aspects, that would be great. But really, they have the work, and they just need to be able to get employees to be able to make the more money. And, you know, maybe we can show some daycare assistance. Use part of these funds specifically for helping get those employees that may be struggling to be able to have places for their kids to go after school, or even if they don't have school kids that can't quite afford it right now, to be able to get that daycare assistance, those kind of things. And I think there's a lot of people that were struggling at the last city council meeting. Still, there's still some people struggling with being able to pay their city water and sewer bills. We could possibly help do another voucher for those kind of things, and just try to help stimulate the economy by getting people back to work and seeing those kind of things help. I could see being possible uses for that, among other things, but definitely investing in city water, sewer, broadband, those kind of things are a neat idea to be able to do it for, but definitely part of it could definitely go directly to people to try to help them get back to work and different things like that.
That's interesting. And you all mentioned small businesses, and you know, there's a couple different forums through which the city and the city council have been talking about economic opportunity for the city. You know, there's the land donation that the city approved for Trambert Theater, and kind of a lot of the conversation around that was that it would be a great economic boon for the city to have a theater in its city limits. And then there's also talk about kind of revitalizing the waterfront in Kenai, which is another kind of could be another pathway for more economic development. Do you guys have any thoughts on kind of how you'd like to see the city increase the economic opportunities for its residents? Or is there anything that you would, any programs in particular that maybe you would like to see to help businesses and entrepreneurs in the city of Kenai? Maybe, Deborah, we can start with you this time.
I would certainly like to see growth in Kenai. It has so much potential, especially given our location at the mouth of the river and on the inlet. Those views are spectacular, and there is opportunity for businesses to come in and utilize that natural resource. One of my concerns, though, is if you revitalize Old Town, and then you're also talking about revitalizing the riverfront, is that too much? Because if you get one done and then you try to do the second one, is that too much? Would our community be large enough to support the restaurants that would come and the businesses that would come with it? Obviously, during the height of summer, yes. But what about all year? I would like to see our energy focused on one area and not both.
Got it. So you're saying you worry about there being enough business to kind of, you know, fill those businesses if there's
for the entire year. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously we have a height in June and July and August and during the summertime. But I look at all year because we live here 12 months out of the year, all year long. And I would like to see healthy businesses that stay open 12 months and are not just totally seasonal. Now, yes, there would be a faction of businesses that would possibly be seasonal, but I certainly wouldn't want the majority of what we're doing to become seasonal. I want it to better our community 12 months out of the year. And I know there's a lot of ideas floating out there, pun intended, along the riverfront and then and with Old Town on the inlet there. And I just want to make sure that what we do well, we do within our budget, and we can handle it and not try to bite off too much.
Is there anything in particular you'd like to see on that waterfront?
Oh, there are ideas. I mean, you look at the Homer Spit, and, you know, we all take company and family down there, and we have fun walking around, and it would be really fun to have something similar like that to help revitalize our Kenai economy. But again, that could be done with some places in Old Town, too. So the question is, which part do you go after, and where do you put your resources?
Alex, do you have thoughts on how you'd like to see the city increase the economic opportunity for its residents and businesses?
Yes, I think the city of Kenai needs to start diversifying. We've been focused a lot on, you know, our oil and gas industry, the commercial fishing industry, and the history of the Kenai is still there. Those are all vital industries, but we need to start bringing in more options for people to do. And, you know, as Deborah said, that tourism industry is a big thing. I believe we were kind of getting two different projects with referring to Old Town and then the feasibility study that was just been approved for the waterfront on bridge access there. With the Bluff project, that's going to entail, yes, definitely some of Old Town. That's to kind of preserve what we have there now so we don't start losing our senior housing and all the other entities that we have along that bluff. The Bluff project is in the works and it's moving forward, which is great to see. I don't know that that's going to be necessarily to encourage the tourism type industry along there, but that's to save the projects we have there now. And maybe that would allow for more areas to provide housing and those kind of things. There is a lot of tourism in that general area of the history of things. But as far as the Bluff project goes, I feel that's more to help the businesses that, like you said, would be more year-round business to be able to stay there, maybe more save some of our housing issues that we have coming up there, not just senior housing, but also the different apartments and stuff along that front to help encourage those long-term businesses to stay in the heart of Kenai there. And then as far as the revitalization project, I really hope to see the feasibility study show some positive ways forward for that. There's the sky's the limit with that. I know we have, as far as the city investing a ton of money into that, I don't really think that's the outlying goal here. I think the city is just trying to show a path forward for private business owners to hopefully take that and run with it and make something better out of it to where we can help them maybe with some tax incentives or something like that to where we can partner with other investors to show our support for them. But I'm hoping that the way that looks forward is the city's not looking to invest a ton of money into that project, but to show a step forward and kind of work with private investors to have them put into there. You know, there's all kinds of stuff on the books right now. They're talking about, you know, boardwalks to encourage for birding and stuff like that. And maybe hotels or a convention center. All these are great ideas that have been thrown out there. And I really hope to see those forward. Those will also bring people in year round to the city of Kenai too. And, you know, something that just comes to my mind is, you know, you think of like Pike's Place, you know, where they have the city working around a commercial fishing industry, but also made the commercial fishing industry.
In Seattle.
Yeah, in Seattle there, where you've got a commercial fishing industry that supports tourism also. And I kind of see that kind of a possible vision for maybe some of that or stuff similar to that. So that's kind of where I'm at on those.
Thank you. James, turning the same question to you, any ideas of how you'd like to see the city bring more economic opportunity to its residents?
I can build on just a few things that Alex and Deborah spoke on. I guess dealing with the feasibility study with the waterfront, the big issue is you've got government-owned land and privately owned land there. So how are we going to get them on common ground with this study if this feasibility study comes back? So, again, government is really good about studying things, and we can spend a lot of money and send a lot of money outside, and people will study it to death for us. Don't know if that's going to get us a solvable problem or an outcome that's it's going to be workable. Any of these projects, whether it's dealing with that, dealing with the stabilization of the bluff, it's going to take tens of millions of dollars from the federal government, as well as bonding and taxes from local governments, which, again, right now we're going to struggle with. City of Kenai typically goes up and down with the oil and gas industry out north here, and that has a large effect on the income stream that the city has. And, diversifying, absolutely. The more that we can deal with the fisheries and with the economics of tourism, we need to. I've asked many private individuals that have businesses in the city, if you had the capital available, what would you do and what would you build in the city of Kenai right now? And you get a lot of blank stares. Right now, there's not a lot of people that would want to do a lot when it comes to investing their capital inside the city. And that's what we need to work at changing. We need to help them overcome that, because we need businesses and we need new businesses here.
Thank you. I'd like to now kind of pivot to talking with all of you about your own experiences, because you all kind of come from a different background, have different levels of experience with government, come from different industries, and I think it would be really interesting to parse out how those experiences kind of, you know, have prepared you for a role like this. So maybe James, we can start with you. You were most recently the chief of staff for the borough. How did your experience at that borough level ready you for this city role?
I think what it will help if elected. I understand the complex issues dealing with the budgets, how the revenue sources come in, the different funding sources. So if I'm sitting out as one of the council members, I think I may be able to dive into a little more of the details and put pressure on administration, making sure they're doing the things that that need to be done. Again, I want to be that voice to where we can't be everything to everybody in this type of environment. I'm worried to death when it comes to all the federal funding that we're seeing and all the spending that's taking place. We're spending money we don't have at every level of government. We are overtaxing our ability to pay this funding back that we're going to receive. So what's going to happen? We're going to see inflation. Our children are going to have to pay for this in the future. And I want to make sure that that we use common sense at the local level, working towards having pressure when it comes to the state and the borough. And again, as a chief of staff, I got to sit down and put major budgets together with the mayor and dealing with all the directors and stuff. So I think I have a good handle on dealing with that, and I think that'll be my strength.
Were there any moments or places of collaboration between the borough and the city that you saw in your time at the borough that you'd like to kind of see continue, or any new places you think where there's opportunity for collaboration between the city and the borough?
Well, one of the big issues coming right now between the cities and the borough, and we're dealing with our 911 dispatch center and what's going to be taking place between the city of Soldotna and city of Kenai right now. They're looking at the feasibility of whether they should join together and the city of Soldotna move out of the borough's dispatch center. I'm going to be a voice of opposition against that. And again, I have a lot of knowledge when it comes to dealing with that situation, and whether I'm elected or not, I'm going to be a voice of what I think is best for the city and the borough both.
Thank you. Alex, you serve on Kenai Planning and Zoning. What has that experience been like? What have you learned from that you would take with you onto the Kenai City Council?
You know, just getting to be on the Planning and Zoning Commission and see the inner workings of kind of city government and how the different boards work, refreshing my memory and trying to learn the Roberts rules of meetings, all those kind of things have really come in helpful. So it'd be hopefully be a smooth transition to city council. Getting to know what's coming forward. The Planning and Zoning Commission, we have a lot of, you know, sometimes pretty heated meetings with public testimony and those kind of things, and seeing how that goes and how it interacts with the public have all kind of helped me, are helping me to be able to be ready for the city council for sure.
Thank you. And what about you, Deborah? I know your experience primarily is in the educational realm, and you kind of didn't list any government experience on your candidate form. Do you see that kind of newcomer experience to government as an asset?
Actually, I do, because I know that citizens are tired of same old, same old. And even though I'm an educator for 34 years, I was a band director for 34 years. And I dealt with middle school students, I dealt with high school students, and I dealt with parents on a daily basis. And at the beginning of each year, I would have a vision of performance and outcome for each of my bands, and especially my Kenai Central High School band. And it was upon my shoulders to put that vision out there and to get the students and the parents to buy into it. That's my strength, and that is what I will bring to the council, is I can be a visionary, and I can promote the vision, and I can get people to buy into it. For example, I was trying to count up how many out-of-state of Alaska trips I did over the 26 years I was at Kenai Central, and I think it's 21. That is getting kids packed, ticketed, parent chaperones, all the T's crossed, all the I's dotted, with all the borough paperwork going and coming. The in-state trips, I can't even count, because we went to Anchorage for the Alaska All-State Music Festival and the solo and ensemble competition in May every year. So, and those are overnight trips. Those are, and you say, okay, well, that's just a field trip. That's not government. Well, it very much is government, because you're dealing with children, you're dealing with parents, you're dealing with taking on the responsibility of other people's families. And you're dealing with, I deal with the paperwork with the school, I deal with the paperwork with the borough, I have had to take my out-of-state trip plans to the school board. It's had to be discussed, it's had to be voted on. And all that energy and all that effort of running a program and running extra stuff for the students is my strength, and I will bring that energy and that experience to the council.
Thank you. All of you are newcomers to would be newcomers to the city council, as we've kind of talked about. You know, what is something that the city council has done in the last year that you maybe would have done differently? Maybe. Alex, we'll start with you on this one.
Boy, that's a tough one. Realistically, you know, the city council has done some great things the last couple of years. In the last year, for sure, it's been tough times with all the COVID, different items that have come above and beyond them. I definitely think, you know, it would have been great to be able to advertise some of the programs maybe a little bit better and see those kind of things going out. There's a lot of people that just didn't understand quite what was going on. I think getting out there and spreading the word could have been done a little bit better. And different for a lot of the small business didn't realize what was going on until it was almost over, or people didn't realize what goes on. And then as far as some of the COVID funds the small business programs that they had were done great. They got them out there. I could definitely see it would have been awesome to be able to expand those a little bit more. But again, I wasn't part of it, so I won't know exactly where budget was at on that. But I think it was done pretty well. I just think being able to advertise some of those programs and get clarification on what was available, public outreach could have done a little bit better.
Deborah, same question to you. What's something that you would have done differently in the last year on the Kenai City Council?
Well, to piggyback on what Alex just said, I think communication and awareness of the programs could have been better. I personally was not aware of the grocery program until it was over with. And then, of course, I did participate in the Buy Local program. But the council was changing dates as the program progressed. And so the rules of the game were actually changing while the game ensued. And that created confusion amongst the citizens, and it created confusion with some of the small businesses. For example, I came in one day with receipts at the end of March, and I was trying to get there before the chamber closed. And the lady just smiled at me. She goes, "Oh, you're fine. You have until the end of April." And I'm like, "Well, huh, I didn't realize that." Because again, the dates kept changing. But the fact that they did this, I think, was wonderful for our community. And it just created a buzz of excitement. Some of the things I would have done differently, it's hard to second guess when you're not sitting on the panel and they are sitting there and they are having to make the decisions. But I think I would have handled the transference of the COVID relief funds differently than the way it was handled.
How so?
Well, a lot of it, a chunk of it, was moved over to take the place in the budget for first responder salaries. That money was already in the budget for the first responders. And so it was moved over to take the place of that budgeted money. And then the first responder money that was already in the budget was then moved over to the general fund. So now that COVID relief money sits there in the general fund as general fund money.
So you're saying you would have, you don't kind of like the way that that whole process was handled, that the money was kind of transferred from one account to another to replace where maybe money was used for COVID relief.
I understand why it was transferred. It was transferred because they weren't sure of what was going to happen once 2020 ended, you know, December 31st, and they did not want to lose the money. I probably would have transferred it over and made a separate account. I mean, the city has many, many different budgetary accounts within their main budget. And I would have still have kept it labeled somehow for COVID relief. So right now, the money, the COVID relief money, was moved over to take the place of the first responder salaries. That budgeted money of the first responder salaries was moved into the general fund. There is no label now for it to be COVID relief. That's my issue with it.
Got it. James, what about you? Is there something that you saw on the city council recently that you would have done a little differently?
Yeah, but it's not fair to go back probably and second guess, because you're not part of all the conversations that take place whenever they're having the conversations. I think one of the things that if I look back, the city probably could have done a little bit better dealing with COVID relief money was it seems like the city was trying to come up with ways to protect their own budgets using COVID money first, and we should always have private industry and business out there first when it comes to trying to help relieve them. And you know, when I look at you look at government entities during this whole thing, they were kept whole. Government folks didn't lose benefits, didn't lose wages, didn't lose time off. So we want to make sure that the group that you elect to go and represent you is there for your behalf and not the government's behalf. I think a smaller government, and we want to get out of the way of what's I guess what I would consider want to be as conservative as possible and get out of the way and let businesses operate. And again, probably the way they use some of the funding, you know, again, second guessing, probably we would all come up with a different ways today. Probably not fair to probably criticize too much.
Deborah and Alex, you both mentioned communication and letting people know about these programs, keeping them updated when the programs change, when the time periods are extended, all of that sort of thing. Do any of you have ideas about how specifically you would communicate with constituents, or what are the best ways to keep in touch with the people in Kenai who you're serving? Anyone can answer that. Alex?
Well, just as a business owner in the city, you know, for advertising and getting the word out, it definitely seems like local radio has been a huge helper for our helping us advertise. And as far as our advertising stream, local air radio has been a huge help for us getting the word out. We've got radio stations like this that can help out with local government getting information out there, and there's several other local radio stations that we advertise on, and that seems to really help connect a lot of people. You know, there's always the online style and through newspapers and stuff like that, but I think what I've realized most bang for our buck for getting the voice and the word out there has definitely been the local radio around here. A lot of people communicate through local radio. It seems like everybody listens to the radio around here, and it really has helped get the local word out for us. And I just wanted to add one other thing. I think that with the COVID funds, especially with the first responders, a lot of that was already labeled. Like, they had to use a certain percentage of it was allocated. It wasn't so much up to exactly what the city had to do. There were certain strings attached to what they could allocate for some of those funds with the CARES fund.
Thank you. Anyone else have ideas about how you'd like to kind of communicate with folks in office?
Radio, definitely. Social media. I mean, with my time at the borough, we could see how important social media was and trying to push your messages out there. But that's almost a full-time position just for somebody to be able to do that. So whatever direction you go in, there's going to be a cost, and somebody's going to have to be dedicated for it.
Deborah, do you have any thoughts?
Well, radio certainly covers the people. I wonder about the businesses that weren't aware of the Buy Local program until it was actually going, or somebody even mentioned that there was a business that found out about it towards the end of the program. If there could be a way to communicate to the businesses themselves before the program would begin. That way, each business could post a poster on their door or their window, or they would have their employees aware of what the program is. And then when your customers come in, you could sell your program to the customers. And then, of course, you know, radio covers all of us, and social media covers all of us. But somewhere along the way, the communication broke down between the program and getting the word out to the small businesses. And not having been there and not having been participating on that, I really don't know why or how that happened, and I'm not going to be too critical of it. I'm just glad they did it.
Alex? And one other thought on that is that the chamber, city chamber at the time, was intricately involved in that. And I think a lot of that had to do possibly with the chamber had just gone under some new management, and maybe they didn't have quite the feel of what was going on, how to communicate with businesses fully in that. And I'm hoping through this that the new chamber has learned how to communicate better with businesses and stuff. I think that was a big issue there. The city put a lot of the burden on communicating with the businesses that could be anticipated through the chamber. And I think there was a loss of translation between those right there. Mm-hmm.